Greetings, everybody. This is Pastor Buddy. Welcome in here tonight with us to the Shepherd's Call. We're glad to have you with us tonight. Above all things, that you prosper and be in good health, and I certainly hope that you've had a wonderful, great, and a magnanimous day. We're going to get into a part four. This is the final part of The Land of the Eagle. We're going to look at America in biblical prophecy. We're going to try to relate biblical typology to America and see if it fits, you know, like the old saying goes, if the shoe fits, then wear it. Well, if we look in some of the Bible codes, it's very interesting if you ever go to the Bible codes and see what America, the word America, how many times it pops up in Bible codes. It's amazing. I was amazed at the amount of time. I think you will be too if you ever take a look at it. The Hebrew transliteration for America from the Hebrew would be Aleph, Men, Resh, Yod, Kof, He. Now, beginning in Genesis 48:1, you'll find that America is indeed mentioned in this prophecy. It's amazing. And that's the prophecy of the future blessing of Ephraim. Not Joseph, but Ephraim. Because Ephraim comes up with a blessing. He comes up actually with what is noted as the birthright blessing. And so if you look at Genesis 48:1 ending in verse 20, the passage of Scripture here deals with Israel's adoption and Joseph's son Ephraim as his own. Now, if you take the Hebrew acronym for USA, which is Aleph Resh Hey Beth, it's found in the matrix running through America at an ELS of 74. It is found beginning in Genesis 48:17 and ending in 48:14. Now, that's a reading from right to left and from up to down. So, that's the Hebrew. Now, let me show you something very interesting. In 1776 A.D., the Hebrew year 5536 is Tav, Kof, Lamed, Vav, which corresponds to 1776 A.D. It's found in the matrix running diagonally at the bottom right of America at an ELS of minus 75. It begins in Genesis 49:1 and ends in the 21st. The nation of America was founded on July the 4th, 1776. And right there, it tells you the very year of the Tav, Kof, Lamed, Vav. Corresponds to 1776 A.D. I'm blown away with this. Sometimes I suspect the codes. I mean, you know, as the old saying goes, you know, figures don't lie, but liars figure. And in this case, it looks like that the codes are favoring my theory here that Ephraim will be the blessed nation and rightfully so. So, the Hebrew name Ephraim, let's take a look at that one. Ephraim. It's Aleph, A, Resh, Yod, Mem. It's found in the matrix running through the word America. It is at an ELS of 1 in Genesis 48:17. Now, ladies and gentlemen, it is amazing. 8 and 4 is 12, which is government. 7:1:8, which is a new beginning. So, in the 48 states, it would eventually come to 48 states instead of the 13 colonies. When America got through growing in its original setting, it was 48 states. And the prophecy of Ephraim's blessing is in the 48th chapter of Genesis. By coincidence? I don't think so. I think it was put there a purpose. Aleph, Pei, Resh, Yod, Men. Running through the matrix is running through America. Let's look at the word Joseph. The Hebrew name Yosef is Yod, Va, Summit, Pei. It's found in the matrix at a ELS of 1 in Genesis 48:1. Joseph was the father of Ephraim, who was adopted by Israel. Now remember, you cannot disinherit an adopted son. So America is going to be in the running here for the prize. I mean, it has to be America, Ephraim, or Great Britain, Ephraim. Now, the British Israelite doctrine, by far, long has been taught that England, the British crown, was Ephraim. And yet, the younger son, Ephraim, was to rise later. The elder son was to rise first and become great. So Great Britain rose to prominence long before Ephraim became a nation. And they, like I said, they controlled the seas. And at one time, they didn't control the land. They didn't own the land. They didn't put the British flag there. They actually took these lands under their wing and sort of nourished them. And well, I don't know about nourished. I think they pulled the wealth of these nations. That was Manasseh's ideal. They pulled the wealth of these nations, and it was a large landmass. Matter of fact, it was they owned 80% of the landmass at one time. But they have diminished. And it is when Ephraim began to emerge, a United States, where the name Ephraim is embedded in 1776, along with the name Ephraim, in 48:17, Aleph, Pei, Resh, Yod, Men. It's just amazing. The Hebrew name for Jacob is Yod, A-N, Ko, Beth. Appears at the bottom of the matrix at an ELS of 1 in Genesis 49:1. Jacob's name was changed by God to Israel in Genesis 32:28. Well, let's look at the Hebrew name Israel. It's Yod, Shin, Resh, Aleph, Lamed. It's found in the matrix at ELS of 1 in Genesis 48:13. The beginning Yod in Israel is shared with America. Isn't that interesting? Let my name be called upon them. Well, talking about America, we're going to give you something I believe it will thrill you if you are a believer that Ephraim is the United States of America. I believe it will be a blessing to you with all these revelations that there is some covenant promise of all the bad, all the negative, all the division that we have. President Clinton spoke of a division that was concerning him in America. And I don't care what you say about Clinton, womanizer or whatever he was, that just basically comes down the line with Hosea berating the house of Ephraim, their leaders. We'll get into that later on, but I mean, he made note that he was concerned about the division. There is a growing division. People want to overthrow a government, terrorist attacks, 9-1-1, Ruby Ridge, Waco, Oklahoma City, questions after questions after questions. Who's doing this? I mean, is somebody deliberately trying to bring down this mighty nation? Are we headed for bankruptcy? Did you know the dollar is failing and gold is raising? I talked about this 2 years ago. And everybody I knew that would hear me, I suggested if they had any money, I certainly didn't have any, but I suggested that people had money, federal notes, to convert them as much as possible to gold and to take their gold out of the banks. The two men followed my advice. One of them today has made quite a bit of money by taking my word of prophecy 2 years ago. He converted a lot of his cash to gold. And he was tempted because gold, after he bought it, I mean, it just took a plunge and went down, 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 down. And he was panicking. He said, Pastor Buddy, you sure you cross this? He said, I'm losing a lot of money here. I said, hold on to it. You're not losing any money. Just hold. Gold will go back up. Well, it fluctuated up and down. He was so disappointed. He was wanting to make a windfall. And he got to the point that he was ready to sell. I mean, the gold came back up to where it was so tempting that he would have made about 13 or 14 bucks an ounce. And I advised him not to do that. After it settled at the point it is now, he's $114 an ounce to the good. And he's got several ounces. So he's made quite a bit of money. And he wanted to know if it was time to sell. I said, no, it'll go higher. I predict that gold will go over 500 in the near future. I'm talking about within the next year. And then after that, it could possibly go to $5,000 an ounce because gold is going to come again into just weights and balances, and the trading, barter trading metal will be silver and gold. So get either or both if you have cash money, and get as much as you can. If you've got cash money laying in a 401k and you're drawing 3 to 6% interest, which is very little, and probably nobody's drawing close to 6, you would be far better served to buy gold. And America will reclaim all of its valuable gold. We were in the 30s the wealthiest nation for gold in the world. Now, we don't know where in the heck our gold went. There's none in Fort Knox, that's for sure. Well, I'll tell you where it's all at. It's in the Federal Reserve Banks, in their vaults, far underground. What's the Bible say? They will cast their silver and gold in the streets. Well, the Bible said that the wealth of the wicked is laid up for the inheritance of the righteous. The righteous are going to inherit. I mean, what's gold anyway when you're going to be a billionaire in manifestation? You're just going to think about things and they're going to appear. You won't really need any gold to buy anything. But until we get there, you may need a few nuggets along the way, and you would be well served to get gold. The Hebrew word for blessing, let's take a look at that, is Beth Resh Kof Hay. It's found on the left of the matrix, running diagonally. It is at the ELS of 230. Now, this is the code ELS, beginning in Genesis 48:7 and ending in Genesis 48:19. Blessing is applied between 7 and 19. 7 is the completeness, and 19 is a total of 10, which is reduced to 1. And so the number one nation in the world is America, and it's blessed. Israel blessed both Ephraim and his brother Manasseh when he adopted them in Genesis 48:20. Let's look at the word firstborn. This is very important. The word, the Hebrew word for firstborn is Beth Kof Va Resh. It's found at an ELS of 1 in Exodus 48:14. Although Manasseh was Joseph's firstborn, Israel, Jacob, blessed Ephraim as if he were the firstborn. Additionally, God calls Ephraim his firstborn in Jeremiah 31:9, so it was the approval. The prophet was just doing what the Holy Spirit, the Father, told him to do. Ephraim would be the firstborn. The elder would serve the younger. And the younger would be the greater blessed. And that's the way it's happened here, ladies and gentlemen. America is the greatest nation. There's no nation that has excelled and measured up to the prophecy of the birthright son in Ephraim like Ephraim in America. Now, let's look at the symbol of right hand. The Hebrew word for right hand is Yod Nin Yod Nun. It is found at an ELS in 1 of 1 in Genesis 48:13. 48:13. Israel blessed Ephraim with his right hand, giving him the blessing of the firstborn, of the Yod Nin Yod Nun. The right hand. The son of the right hand. Let's look at multitude of nations. 13 of them start out now, then 48, and then 51. The Hebrew phrase multitude of nation is Men, Lamed, Aleph, He, Gimel, Vav, Yod, Nun. It's found on the right bottom of the matrix at ELS of 1 in Genesis 48:19. Multitude of nations. After Israel blessed Ephraim, he pronounced through his prophecy that his descendants would become a multitude of nations. Great Britain has only been Great Britain, but America is a multitude of nations. Beginning with 13, where the verse in 48:13 said she would begin. In 1776, which the codes say she did. I'm amazed. I don't know what you are, but I'm impressed. I'm impressed with America. I'm impressed with the people. I know that what you're thinking, oh, no, no, boy. But I'll declare unto you with my hand raised to the Creator of heaven, there's a lot of good people left in America. You won't hear me say that much because the way I preach, you wouldn't think I believed anybody's right. But I do. I just think we're rightfully asleep. We need to wake up. I berate Israel for not waking up. They're long past due. I mean, time is wasting. The day's at hand. The day's far spent. We're in the end time. It's time to awaken. And unless he awakens, there won't be any of Israel. The flesh of Israel left is going to be miscegenated out of the bloodline of the Creator. I'm amazed at it. Men, Lamed, Aleph, Hey, Gimel, Vav, Yod, Nun, as the phrase in Genesis 48:19. United States of America, 50. I think now we've got 51 with Hawaii. I'm not sure. There's so many. We've got so many now. Separate states or nations. Now, these states are nations. And the nations are the collected blood of the house of Israel. Let my name be called upon them, and I will make Ephraim a multitude of nations, And Manasseh, the left hand, and if you're standing facing north in the land of Israel, you go to the British Isles to the left, and you go to America to the right. Woo! Glory! Hallelujah! Ladies and gentlemen, I mean, the Father can just blow you away with the preponderance of evidence here if you'll just stack up. I just don't have time I'd have to do 12 or 14 hours or maybe more to get to you all of the details and the covenant blessings that could be fulfilled or prophesied to be fulfilled in the house of Ephraim as the United States of America. It's overwhelming. The evidence is overwhelming. I've studied it for over 15 years. It is overwhelming. And I'm the only Christian identity preacher on the radio that states this fact. If you want to call me a Christian identity, I don't much appreciate being called that, but they group me into that category. I'm a Yahwist. I'm not a Christian. The word Christian came from Krishna, and I don't appreciate the word Christian, so call me anything but a Christian. But for the sake of tradition and what most people would, I mean, you know, most people don't know what a Yahwist is. That is someone that believes in the Hebrew God of Israel. Most Christians believe in the Greek God of Israel. But our father was not a Greek. He was a Hebrew. And we got blood to prove it. We got scriptures to prove it. And his offspring are not Greek. They're Hebrew. But we were scattered among all of what you would call the Greek-speaking worlds or the heathen worlds into these nations where we were driven and became known as Caucasians. You know that the symbol of Ephraim is the calf or the young bull or the unicorn. Take your pick. And actually, in the constellation above the heavens in Ezekiel chapter 1, and where it states the location of the four symbols that are in the constellations, Ephraim was the pitcher of water. The man bearing the pitcher of water. But on the earth, he was known as the unicorn or the bull. And so then, he, as Moses prophesied in Deuteronomy 33, will push his enemies in. There ain't nobody can muscle the United States around. Quite the contrary. I believe we've got leaders that maybe they know more than I do. I mean, you know, we shouldn't criticize until, Mr. Bush, maybe he's got more facts than we have. Maybe he's riding going into, to Iraq. I don't know. I criticize it and I question it, but maybe they know something we don't know. Maybe in the future this will work out to the good. I do know that all things do work to the good of them that love God and call according to his purpose. Romans 8:29. But everything's predestinated. So, whatever these kings, if these kings are good, fine. If they're not, fine. Who cares? I mean, you know, we're gonna fulfill destiny anyway, sooner or later. Everything that God has brought about or brought into being through predetermination is gonna happen anyway. So maybe a lot of these decisions that, or positions that we have are not by chance, they're by choice, God's choice. I mean, we're just the clay, and he's the fire. So I believe he's running. I think he's directing the show from the get-go. It looks like the enemy is, but overall, it is God, and the enemy is playing right into his hand. Calf. Let's look at the word bull, or bullock. The Hebrew word for calf or bullock is Ayin Gimel Lamed. It's found in the codes at ELS. Of 79. It begins in Genesis 48:15. Again, the prophecy chapter for Ephraim and Manasseh. And ends in Genesis 48:17, right where I told you that 1776 and the word Ephraim and the word America is associated in the crosshairs of the codes. And Ephraim is pictured as the calf or a young bull in Jeremiah 31:18. So right there in the same scripture, 48:17, Ephraim scripture, 1776, America, a company, a multitude of nations. Oh man, that just blows me away. Let's look at the, you know, that's calf and bullock. Let's look at the word ox and bull. The Hebrew word for ox or bull is shin va resh. It is found in the matrix at an ELS of minus 81. It begins in, well, Genesis 48:17 and ends in Genesis 48:15. Ephraim is described as an ox or a bull by Moses in his final blessings to the house of Ephraim in Deuteronomy 33:17. Third parallel, and there's that 17 again that keeps coming up. 7 and 1 is a 1776, a new beginning. I'm amazed. Well, let's look at the word for Egypt. Men, Tashta, Resh, Yod, Men. It's found at an ELS of 1 in Genesis 48:5. Ephraim was born in Egypt. Everybody said he was an Egyptian. Ephraim wasn't no Egyptian. You say, well, he had an Egyptian wife. No, she wasn't an Egyptian. She was from the priest of On. They were only called Egyptians at that time. She was not a bloodline Egyptian. She just happened to live there like the Israelites. They would have been known as Egyptians in the history of the nation because there is no known history that is readable that shows Israel other than some of the code words that have been decoded to indicate that they were using code words. But those peoples that were there, they were the bloodline of Jacob, but they were known as Egyptian up until they separated themselves from the Egyptian. In other words, you'll get by association or you're known by the company you keep. Come out of her, my people. And that's what this Egyptian thing stands for, born in darkness. Let's look at this. The Hebrew word for Assyria, Aleph Shin Varesh, is found at an ELS of 234. It begins in Genesis 48:9 and ends in Genesis 48:20. The prophet Hosea speaks of Ephraim going into Assyria. In Hosea 7:11, you could remember that, couldn't you? I mean, let's think about rolling the dice, 7:11. So, you can read it also in 8 and 9, by the way, and 9 and 3 and 10 and 6. So, I'm telling you, it is just amazing how that the Father has coded the blessing of Ephraim into a code system where that the Father is basically going to give you some information so overwhelming in the preponderance of it that you cannot deny that we are in the land of the eagle. I'm telling you, it's amazing. Beautiful. I am so thrilled that the Father would bless us and give us these fruitful arrows in one talon and the olive branch, which symbolizes the house of Israel. According to Romans 11, it is the house of Israel is a olive branch, not a fig tree. Everybody thinks that Israel is a fig. That ain't no way. No way, Jose. No, it ain't going to work. Praise Yahweh. It is Ephraim, Israel, the fruitful bough. And that bough in his talons, the land of the eagle, that bald eagle that is taken off his headdress and appears this greatest majestic bird in America, this native to America. There's other eagles and other kinds in other places, but the bald eagle, this is his domain, found here, along with the five timbers that are specified in the Bible. That would... Isn't that strange? That if you remove the S, the shin in Hebrew, you get A M A R I A. And that, and if you apply the vowels to it, you got America. You got America. Samara and America. Just drop the shin and you got it. Samaria stands for the entire nation or tribe of Israel. Interesting that if you drop that S from Samaria, you come up with America. A-M-E-R-I-A. It's amazing. It's a name that is almost identical to America. And is that just a coincidence? I don't think so. Could that be a connection? No, I believe so. Wherever or whenever you read Samaria as a reference in the books of the prophets to Ephraim, if you replace the word Samaria with America instead, you get some very revealing examples of knowledge of what God foresaw about the pride of Ephraim and the drunken condition and the apostate nature of Ephraim. Man, we're sinners. I'm telling you, we are terrible sinners. But we are saved by grace. I don't care how good you are, like I said last night, you're going to have to face it. You're going to have to plead grace. For by grace are you saved, not by works, and that not of yourself. There ain't a work you can do to gain God's favor. God's favor must be directed towards you, not your favor toward God. Who are you to tell God that he needs to favor you? It's God that does the choosing, and he chose you before the foundation of the world, and he put grace and truth and mercy linked together with his people, and if you'll just rub out the G, you've got the whole deal right there. Just like you take away the S, you've got America and Samaria, and if you apply, just read the book of Hosea, the whole book of Hosea, and change Samaria to America by just dropping the shin, and maybe this was the code. Now let me give you a few examples. In Jeremiah 23, verse 13, for instance, I have seen the folly in the prophets of America. That says Samaria, but remember, we're going to change that shin. We're going to drop the shin, and we're going to pick up the Aleph, and that's the first word, and it becomes America. I have seen the folly of the prophets in America. They prophesied by Baal and caused my people of Israel to err. Now, does that sound like what we got going on today? Just to me. Praise God. And Hosea 7:1, and I saw the wickedness of America. Samaria says, drop the S, we got again America. The inhabitants of America fear because of the calf. What kind of calf? The symbol of America's pride, Ephraim, is a calf. But he's become a mad bull in the china shop. I mean, you know, somebody's directing the bull and causing him to charge when he shouldn't be charging. There's somebody at the helm of this ship that shouldn't be there. And reckon who it'd be. Paul said, grievous enemy. A grievous enemy will come in, not sparing the flock. Well, when you turn the direction or the leadership of this country over to wolves and sheep's clothing, that's what we got. Man, I could go in, I could preach for 30 days on the Illuminati and the reckoning and the encoded satanic emblems of America. How that they have put together and bound this nation into a curse, removed the power of the people, and caused America to become a beast, a great bull in the china shop of the world. And we're causing some problems that's going to produce repercussions to the extent that your children and your sons will wish they had never seen America because of the cleansing that's coming. Because of the powers of the heavens going to be shaken in the last days, and America will be the focal point of the wrath of Almighty God. Because, I mean, he starts whipping, and when he comes to the outhouse, that's the earth. I mean, that's his footstool. He's going to kick the butt of his children first. I mean, you know, he says, if I don't chastise, they are chasing you with the whips, then I don't love you. But if I do, you can rest assured, you better turn from your wicked ways and hear from heaven. And so that's what the Father's waiting for us to do. But, you know, so far that ain't happened. But I'm predicting it will happen. Now, it might take a little prodding. It might take a little persecution. It might take a little starvation. I mean, you know, when 9-1-1 or Y2K in 99 came in, then we had in 201, we had 9-1-1. And all these things prompted people to start hoarding food and saving food and stuff like this. And then, of course, 99, now everything's, you know, there's boll weevils in the wheat, worms in the berries, and whatever we packed up, it ain't keeping. I mean, you know, it's now the statute of limitations on preserving the food unless it was dehydrated. And dehydrated only has a 8 to 10 year shelf life for edible. They say it can go 10 years. But, you know, a lot of people can't afford it. I know we couldn't. We packed up food at the farm. We bought a farm, moved to it, packed food up, and had over 100 people that was in our fellowship that were involved in some type of activity to secure their, they didn't all live there. We had our festivals there, and then people contributed food. Well, that food is now, it's no good. There's very little of it that's edible. And, you know, you feed it to your livestock or whatever, eat it or grind it up and put it back on the land for fertilizer, whatever the case may be, the birds or whatever. But look here. The inhabitants of Samaria, America, fear because of the calf. Calves and images of Beth Avim, for its people mourn for it, and its priests shirk for it, because its glory has departed from it, Hosea 10 and 5. Remember, Ephraim is compared to a bull or an ox, and the calf that would be a symbol of Ephraim is losing her glory and power. Ladies and gentlemen, we are going to have to take a step down from the height that we have ascended to. Because as the old saying goes, whatever's gone up has to come down. And the bigger they are, the higher they fall. And America's in for a fall. Why? Because we've let the wrong people at the wheel. That's the first part. They have to be extracted from the community or the nation. And they will be. They will be dealt with. That is a prophetic utterance, so it's going to come to pass. It may be 150 years down the road, but it's going to come. It may be next year. It's coming. When? Where? I don't know. But it's going to happen. And so I wouldn't want to get into to dates. I've got some ideas about it, but I'm not going to go on record and set a date, because you see, the dates are contingent upon the continuation of people sinning. It'll come quicker. But if there's a generation of people that rise up that will seek their God, then it could be delayed. And so however the mood of the nation or the mood of the people, depending on how they react to the prophets and the warning. So far, I mean, you can preach your heart out with the truth, and most people ignore you. Only a few will support you. I mean, you have to have money to be on the radio. You have to have a ministry that reaches out and touches people around the nation, you're going to have to have some support. And if you're a poor truth preacher, that you don't preach the Judeo politically correct agenda of the 501c church, then man, you're swimming up against the water anyway, the drain of the water. You're going against it. The flow of the water, you're swimming upstream instead of going with the 501c crowd down the stream. But we're going to have some prophets that are willing to take the efforts of doing without, to hazard their lives and things of this nature, just to preach the gospel and bring a repentant nation to its knees before God will hear from heaven and heal our land. Listen to this one now. This one is realish in Hosea 10:7. As for America, her king is cut off like a twig on the water. For as America, her king is cut off. Now, you know that this could be indications that the president of the United States will be possibly cut off. Maybe we're going to do away with that type of government, because Ephraim has never had a king over them in spirit. We rejected the king that come to rule. We wouldn't have him. We rejected him, and therefore the clamoring for flesh and blood king. Just maybe that America, which has never had a tribal king, but we do have a president. That is, our first founding father was George Washington, and since then we've had presidents to sit. And, you know, we haven't even had 50 presidents yet to sit on our seat of authority. Isn't that amazing? We've had so few, and yet we're so far along. If you know that those who were historically elected in a year ending in zero, beginning with Abraham Lincoln, was assassinated or died while in office. And there are some strange paradoxes here. I don't know why, but they are. No doubt right now that there are many in the world that hate our current sitting president, George W. Bush, Jr., because he's the leader of America. And most people in the world, I'm telling you, there's very few nations in the world that agree with our position in the world right now. Russia don't agree with us. Red China certainly don't agree. North Korea certainly don't agree. And all of the Muslim states, they certainly do not agree with our political position. Germany, France, Great Britain is the only one who went to war with us that we could count on in Iraq. And, you know, they didn't do much. It was the burden fell on the shoulders of Ephraim alone, not Manasseh. Manasseh contributed. And yet, over 85% of the people in Great Britain were against the war. And Tony Blair and the British government went with America because America's always went with the British crown. These two brothers have always been there for each other. And you better not mess with either one of them, because you'll have to deal with both of them. So whether you believe that Great Britain is America, or Ephraim, or whether you believe that Great Britain is Manasseh, and whether you believe that America is Ephraim or Manasseh, it doesn't matter. As far as the two nations are concerned, but it does matter in prophetic scripture and utterance, and whatever is going to befall the sons of men is written in for America or for Ephraim, wherever they're at. It's written in the book of Hosea. So you gotta read it very closely. And when it talks about Samaria, drop the shin, the S there, and you'll get the Aleph or the A in the English, and you can get America. I don't believe that was just haphazardly come up that way as a chance. I think it was purposely put there to get you to see some things. Praise Yahweh. Now, Yahweh warns in the prophecies of Isaiah that the fortified city will disappear from Ephraim. Now think about that. The fortified city will disappear from Ephraim. In that day, the glory of Jacob will fade. The fat of his body will waste away. It will be as when the reaper gathers the standing grain and harvests the grain with his arm, as when a man gleans heads of grain in the valley of Rephaim, which means the dead, and yet some gleanings will remain, because you have forgotten God, your Savior, and you have not remembered the rock, your fortress, Isaiah 17, verses 3 through 5 and 10. We're beginning to bring God's wrath upon ourselves as a people. I'm telling you, folks, of all the sin that Ephraim is guilty of, we are the largest contributors to murder, rape, robbery, one-on-one crime. I mean, our nation here, since we have let the strangers in, we are the number one incarceration nation in the world. We incarcerate more people in America than does any nation, and almost all of them combined. That's the sad part about it. I mean, it's just like, well, we're leading by a few. We almost have as many as all the other nations combined. And Europe, it would be true. With Russia, now they don't have many in. They used to have quite a few. But America is the leading nation for prison. Yet we don't have a prison reform system. We've got a place to send them. When America forsakes Judah, the nation of Israel, she breaks God's covenant. When she forsakes the two houses, it is the house of Ephraim, which is Israel, and the house of Judah, which must reunite as one stick. And we're going to talk about that sometime in the future, the reuniting of the two sticks. They are separate today. They will come together as one stick. You can bank on it. Take it to the bank, as the Bible says so. God will bring the stick of Judah and the stick of Israel back together again as one stick. Not two sticks, but one stick. And when that happens, he said, in that day I'll fight for Israel. Ladies and gentlemen, we are a nation that is destined for not only greatness, but also before a failure. And before we can succeed, we've got to fail. Before we can go up, we've got to go down. Before we can go out, we've got to go in. So we've got work to do as a people and a nation, and we are sifting through. You don't see the end result here of what you see now in a few more years down the road when it's crunch time. I'm talking about crunch time, big time crunch time. I see something coming on America that Ajax will not wash off. I see a time of trouble, and this is Jacob's trouble. And what that means is Jacob is Israel. That's Israel's trouble. But if you read Jeremiah, I'm satisfied that, and I take great satisfaction in reading this verse time after time. When I get in doubt, when I look at the present state of our nation and the world in general, I go always back to read Jeremiah 13:7. It is the most hoping, if I can use that word, scripture that you can hope for. Hope in. You can have hope in Jeremiah 13:7. Although it's a twofold prophecy, one at time of Jacob's trouble, only Jacob now, only the house of Israel, the descendants of Jacob, is going to go through. The people say, boy, in the tribulation, boy, glory to God. Now, this is going to happen, that's going to happen, and it ain't going to happen to the world. Just like there's not going to be a nuclear war to end the world. There's no scripture to justify that anywhere. He says there will be eating and drinking when he comes back in the end time. Who? The world. And the people of the world. The people that love the world. This is they want to eat and drink and be merry. And who is it that's going to be having a bad time. Jacob. Jacob, the seed of Jacob, we are going to be isolated to the point where the house of Israel, the descendants, the Aryan race will be hunted down. What don't miscegenate and go over to the enemy will be hunted down as common criminals because we will do things that the Bible calls exploits. Now, I don't want to get into that right now because that's a whole another message. But there will be a time of trouble. Now, take this to the bank with you, the bank of your heart. Not the bank, the First National, but the bank of your heart in heaven. This truth will, this prophecy will happen just as sure as I'm preaching to you tonight or teaching to you tonight. There will be a time of trouble for Jacob's children. That if the father don't intercede, there won't be any of them saved. That's Jacob's trouble. But it says, here's where I take heart. Suffer, you know, he said suffer for 10 days or whatever, and, you know, it's a short time. Whatever 10 days in prophecy is, and one day is 1,000 years to God, and so on and so forth, but 10 days. Tribulation 10 days. It's going to last about 10 days of God's own time count. And that's going to be long enough to where you think it'll never going to end. Because when you hurt, you want it over with. And a lot of people are going to be badly mistreated. It's coming to a neighborhood near you. It's already being prepared for you. And it will come to pass. Now, what does Jeremiah 37 say at the time of Jacob's trouble? But. Now, the Almighty God, Yahweh, puts a but in there. Jacob shall be delivered. Because there's going to be an intervention in man's affairs. You're going to look up and you're going to see one of the greatest comings. You think Satan, you see, Satan's going to trick everybody with the first coming. And Yahweh is going to surprise everybody with the second coming. So it ain't the first coming. Satan and his angels will come first. And the people will think, well, this is it. This is God. We'll build him a temple. He'll get in the temple and he'll sit there and we'll go worship him. He's done miracles. He's brought forth peace. We've had a few troublemakers, but he's took care of them and so on and so forth. And it'll look like that he is the best thing since sliced bread. And to the world, he will be. He's their champion. He's the Goliath that is in for a defeat. Because the second coming will be the influx of the mighty ones, the angels of heaven, along with Yahweh himself. Will descend from heaven with a shout. And the elect, what's left. But it doesn't matter where you're left here anyway, because those that are left will not prevent them that sleep, because God's going to bring them with him. We're going to be riding on them chariots right with him. I can't wait to get on one of the ships. If you've ever rode on one of the ships, you'll know what I'm talking about. If you've ever been privilege to ride one of the chariots that Elijah rode, that Ezekiel rode. You say, well, that just don't happen this day and time. Oh, you've got another thing coming, honey. Because it happens every day to somebody on the earth where he's getting us ready for the great day. And who's going to be able to stand? Well, you listen to Pastor Buddy. This is the end of, or part four of our message, The Land of the Eagle. I hope and trust that you've enjoyed it, those of you who have been listening to me, ranting and raving about the goodness of America, being Ephraim. You can take it to the bank, ladies and gentlemen. We are a destined country, and we will prevail. The Father will see to it that this nation will always remain in covenant with who he said it was. And you can bank on it. Praise God. If you'd like to write me tonight, just write Pastor Buddy, Post Office Box 2284, New Tazewell, Tennessee, the zip 37824. If you'd like to call me tonight, this is the 18th, by the way, the 18th day of November in the year 2004. So we're moving right along in time. If you'd like to call me, area code 423-626-2172. If you'd like to email me tonight, I'd like to hear from somebody to see how the broadcast is coming in your neighborhood. And if you'd like to do that, we'll just email buddy1@centurytale.net. That's buddy1@centurytale.net. Give me a radio check, a feedback from somebody, and I'll be much obliged. Praise y'all. Always glad to hear from somebody. Just give me a radio check and tell us about the message, how it came in, what the quality of the sound and all that. So we take these little things and we make little notes of it. And so praise Yahweh. We bless you in the great name of Yahweh. We've got to get out of here, ladies and gentlemen. The old time clock on the wall has chased us down here. I'll not be on tomorrow night. I'll be traveling to New York and going upper state New York, way up into the upper state, above New York City. And I'll be back hopefully Monday night to do the show live. Praise Yahweh. So Yahweh bless you. Till we see you on the other side there.
Thank you.